Welcome back to Your Political Playlist. I'm your host, Emily Tisch Sussman. With a new presidential administration and a new Congress, there is a significant amount of work to do, cleaning up the mess Trump left behind and enacting new policies. Every week, I offer up bite-sized policy conversations from women who are leading the charge, either as elected officials, advocates, or policymakers. As always, all of our guests are women. Over the weekend, the House passed President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus aid package, sending it to the Senate. The package is being pushed through using the budget reconciliation process, which allows Democrats to approve it more quickly and without Republican support. But it also means there are limits to what can be in the package. This is why the Senate parliamentarian ruled last week that raising the federal minimum wage to $15 could not be included. House Democrats kept it in the bill regardless, and it'll be up to the Senate to take it out this week. As our elected leaders work to enact a bill by the time enhanced unemployment benefits expire, I'm chatting with Lindsay Owens, Executive Director of Groundwork Collaborative, who was previously Elizabeth Warren's policy director. Welcome, Lindsay. Lindsay.
Hi there.
Thank you so much. There's so much happening. So we're going to have, this is a pretty quick conversation on policy. I'm sure we will not even get into, great filter you got there. I'm sure we're not even going to tap into the depths of what you understand about economic policy and it's moving through right now, but we're going to attempt to. So, you know, quickly, I feel like we have to cover the COVID relief package and what that means, you think, for indicating how important it is for economic policy. Obviously, the package that's moving through Congress is changing a little bit. I think that the issues that have gotten the big top lines are the fact that raising the minimum wage to $15 is not going to be in the COVID relief package, and direct payments to individuals have probably have gotten the biggest headlines of the COVID relief package. But what pieces are in there that you wish got more headlines that you think are going to be really incredibly important for economic recovery?
Sure. Yeah. Happy to chat about that. I think that's right. The fact that the minimum wage is not going to be in the package is really unfortunate. That's a real policy that Congress can enact right now, pretty simply, that would impact a lot of people's lives. The checks are really important as well, the $1,400, per family or per individual. In terms of what has not gotten as much attention, I would say actually the tax credits. So there are both an extension of the child tax credit and of the earned income tax credit. And those policies would put quite a bit of money in families' pockets. I believe that the child tax credit alone would cut the child poverty rate in half for the year. And it would bring the Black poverty rate down considerably, to where for the first time, the white to Black poverty ratio would be less than 2-to-1 for the first time since poverty statistics by race have been recorded. So that's a pretty important provision and one that I think isn't really getting a ton of attention.
What do you think that's in, what is in this package that is indicating to you? I mean, this package is going to move pretty quickly. So like this going to become law, like pretty quickly. What is in this package that is indicating to you about the economic agenda that the Biden administration is trying to pass? Like for the 4 years?
Sure. Yeah. So this is their relief package, and it's meant to be sort of temporary relief to families dealing with the COVID-19 crisis. So it's money for schools, money for rental assistance, money for vaccines, and then economic relief to get folks through as a bridge to what's hopefully a post-pandemic world. I think what it suggests to me is that the Biden administration has really learned the lessons of the Obama administration, that they are not going to run the risk of going too small. They are not going to worry more about inflation than they are about economic security of families. And so I think that's the strong statement that this package really makes. And, we'll have to wait and see what the next package will look like to see what kind of investments they're going to make, you know, for our future. Because I think most families, need help now, but they're not interested in just going back to January 2020. you know, January 2020 was a high poverty economy. It was a high inequality economy. It was an economy in which, you know, Black unemployment was twice white unemployment. I think most Americans and most voters think that we can do a lot better than January 2020. And so we're eager to see, you know, what comes next after this release package moves through the Senate, hopefully, you know, this week or next.
The administration has indicated that this is just like the COVID relief bill is just COVID relief. Like they plan to do more. But what do you think what are you hoping to see them put in the more package? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we started a coalition called the Prosperous Coalition to basically sing with one unified voice that the more should include massive federal investments. So that, you know, serious money for care infrastructure, for things like you mentioned, paid leave, but also to pay caregivers for their work. We're interested in seeing major climate investments, both in green jobs, but also in, you know, making the investments needed to get our climate back on track. We're also interested in, you know, aggressive policies to alleviate racial inequality.
What are you looking for? So I feel like maybe that's Congress and administration, but from administration, like what they can do on their own without Congress, what are you looking for from this administration to do on economic policy on their own that would make really big, big changes?
Sure. You know, the truth is dozens of things, but I'll do three just in the interest of time. So the first is that we're interested in seeing the Federal Reserve target the Black unemployment rate. For too long, the Federal Reserve has, you know, mostly looked at average unemployment. And they've said, okay, you know, average unemployment is, you know, 5%, 3%. We feel good about things now. But the truth is when, you know, average unemployment has been 5%, the Black unemployment rate has been 10%. And so our view is that, you know, the administration and the Federal Reserve should not take their foot off the gas until the Black unemployment rate is down. The second thing that we're interested in, you know, seeing is pretty aggressive movement on the student debt release issue. You know, the Department of Education can forgive, you know, large sums of student debt relief without Congress. And I think it would be pretty important, you know, to see that move soon. It would be a really important piece of relief and recovery for so many borrowers. The third thing I'll say, it's really hard to pick just three, but the third thing I'll say is, you know, watching the Department of Labor's Occupational Health and Safety administration really take on worker safety issues. There are way too many workers, you know, who are having to choose between their well-being and their health and their paycheck right now. You know, that was true even before COVID. There were way too many dangerous workplaces. Obviously, in the COVID era, you know, real concerns about particularly essential workers, you know, dealing with health hazards on the job. And OSHA can move pretty quickly to put in place policies, you know, to beef up the safety standards in workplaces. And I think it would be really important to see that. Essential workers are, you know, more likely to be Black and brown, more likely to have lower incomes. So they're already at disproportionate risk of, you know, dying from COVID as it is. So reducing that workplace hazard is pretty important.
And of the people that Biden has put into place, both in secretary positions and economic council positions, of the personnel they put into place into the administration, who are you particularly excited about? Who do you have your eye on?
That's a tough question. So I do think, you know, as you mentioned, personnel is policy. I used to work for Senator Warren. That was a really big mantra of hers, even back, you know, when folks were thinking about what a possible Clinton administration would look like. I think, you know, from Groundwork's perspective, you know, we our kind of senior leadership team has moved into really great positions in the administration. So Janelle Jones is the chief economist at the Department of Labor. You know, we think that having her there is going to be really great for Americans. Our former executive director and deputy executive directors moved into OMB and to also the Department of Labor, and we think they're going to do great work there. You know, colleagues of mine at NEC and DPC, I think, you know, Yellen was a really important pick for Treasury. She's shown that she's going to make, you know, economic inequality a real priority. And I think that's going to be, you know, obviously, Treasury Secretary is an incredibly powerful position when it comes to economic recovery and economic growth. And so having her there is pretty, pretty exciting.
Now, this is going to be a tough question for you to answer. I know these have all been tough questions for you to answer quickly because these are huge topics. But a growing economic conversation is the relationship to China. So could you help us understand there, like, how does the average person break down the news that we're hearing about the U.S. relationship to China, and how do we understand it for our own economic policy?
Sure. At the Groundwork Collaborative, we've primarily been focused on China vis-a-vis trade policies. And our view is that for far too long, you know, trade policies have really focused on, you know, corporations at the expense of average Americans. And so we're going to be, you know, monitoring, you know, trade relations vis-a-vis China through that lens. So not just the national security lens, but the economic insecurity lens. And I think, you know, we're going to be looking for the Biden administration to use trade policies to make sure that folks here at home are, you know, economically secure. And frankly, we're going to be monitoring Biden's trade policy vis-a-vis, you know, our domestic ability to manufacture. It was a real problem at the beginning of the COVID pandemic that, you know, we couldn't get the supply of PPE that we needed and that we couldn't manufacture that here in America. You know, that wasn't always the case. It certainly doesn't have to be the case. And we're going to be looking for more, you know, more domestic capabilities here so that we're less dependent on those, you know, external partners.
Great. Thank you. I know that's a question that a lot of people are asking, especially because as we're going through the confirmations, the view on relationship to China has actually been a huge line of questioning as we're going through the Senate confirmation hearing. So I think it's really helpful for people to be able to have some context for it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What have you been making of the questions that have been going through the Senate confirmation hearings?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think in general, the confirmations have been going really well. You know, most, you know, Deb Haaland at Interior, you know, had a great set of confirmation hearings last week and, you know, looks poised to move through, which I think is going to be a really critical piece of the Biden climate work. You know, we were happy to see the Yellen confirmation, as I mentioned, move quickly at the beginning of this new calendar year. I'm trying to think, you know, it looks like Becerra is really poised to make serious inroads on immigration status and access to the safety net and to the benefits that HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, covers. And so I think that's a really exciting development for a more inclusive safety net. You know, there are a lot of good choices. And I think obviously confirmation is one step, but we're mostly interested in what they get done once they get in their office.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so one last question that I have to ask you, sure. You know, we're just called the she session because women are just suffering so much at the brunt of the pandemic, essential workers, children at home, dropping out of jobs due to lack of childcare. What policies are you looking particularly, not just to make women, to your point, we don't want to go back to the economy of January 2020, not just to make women whole, but to actually really thrive in this moment?
Oh my gosh, great question. Yeah, like this idea that we just need a little pandemic relief to get us through and then we'll go back to that, you know, great lives that we all had before January 2020. I mean, of course, you know, folks were definitely happier pre-pandemic, but, you know, that economy was not working for women before the pandemic. And the pandemic really just exposed those gaps. The fact that, you know, women who were in the labor force were taking care of most of the child, you know, care in this country unpaid after work. And that, you know, as soon as you put, you know, women in a position to have to take care of children like during the day and work during the day, women dropped out of the labor force just really shows that, you know, this economy wasn't working for women, you know, before the pandemic. And I think, you know, there has been, you know, clear outcry on this point. And I think, you know, the Biden administration is going to have to take this on in the next package. I think women are going to demand it. And it's the only way that we're going to get our economy growing again. You can't, you know, you can't grow the economy and have a strong economy if women are on the sidelines. A lot of the productivity that we got in the economy over the last few decades was due to women entering the labor force. And we shouldn't go back to a time in which women are on the sidelines and which our economy is suffering as a result.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been really informative to have you. I'm Emily Tisch Sussman, host of Your Political Playlist podcast. This is Lindsay Owens, Executive Director of Groundworks Collaborative. The great conversation on economic policy in the Biden administration. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Political Playlist. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Your Political Playlist, where you can see video of Lindsay's interview and join us live to ask questions during future ones. For more from Lindsay, follow her on Twitter at OwensLindsay1. Join us every week for smart but bite-sized conversations with women at the seat of power and activism. Subscribe if you like us, leave us a rating, and comment to let others know. Talk to you next time.